All right, welcome to Lecture 44 in this ancient history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. This is our last class of the calendar year, so I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah and a Happy New Year and all of those other wonderful things that come with the holidays, however you may celebrate them. So I hope that you're going to have a wonderful time. What we're going to do today is we are going to look over, well, I think we're going to end up focusing on one of the paragraphs, and I think this is actually going to be the first of a series of classes on this assignment, because there are such interesting things to learn from the writing that you guys have done, which is terrific, and thank you for submitting your writing work. It has, it's always nice to see it. It's always nice to see how well you're doing. And also to, as a teacher, see if there's something that I can help you to understand better. And today, we're going to start talking about a theme that everybody, not just elementary students or any, as far as I'm concerned, everybody needs to understand better about history. And so it has to do with, let's say, I could put it a couple different ways, and they're both important. So I'm going to start with a big sounding word, but you guys will get it because it's related to words that you already know. Okay, so here is the word that I want to focus on today. Ready? You guys are getting, this is like learning Greek philosophy here. Okay, the great Greek philosophers, which we haven't talked about yet, but we're going to get to them, were very interested in this topic. So we are going to learn about Greek philosophy today. Ha! Even though we're mainly focusing on Greek democracy. So here's the word. I'm chatting it to you guys, okay? The word is, Patrick, can you read that?
Causation.
Good. Good pronunciation, right? Causation. Oh my goodness. What is that? Anybody have an idea? Is there a word in there that you recognize, or perhaps a fragment of a word? So, Rosetta, go ahead.
Cause, maybe.
Cause, there you go. Right, Opal got it. And Patrick, yes?
Shin, like the end of words.
Okay, like the end of a lot of words in English have this ending shun as well. So we have cause, and then we have this A in there, and then we have shun, right? So it's kind of like a three-part word. So maybe we could break it down. We could say cause, and then A, and then shun. Yeah, it's kind of like that, and then we crunch it down. So it has to do, the idea of causation has to do with causes. Okay, who can explain what a cause is? This is where we get into Greek philosophy. What is a cause? What is, normally, when people talk about something as a cause, what is the outcome? Do you guys know there's kind of a phrase that says something causes something else, and then that second thing, what is that one called? There's a cause, and then there is an, what do we call the outcome? What do we call the result of the cause? Do you know what that phrase is? That's kind of a tricky question. I'm going to go ahead and chat it to you guys as well here. Okay? Have you heard this phrase? Cause and effect. You ever heard of that? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, maybe this is the first time. Okay, right. So, cause and effect. In other words, if I right now raise my hand and slam it down on the table, that's a cause. What will be the effect? Patrick?
A loud sound.
A loud sound, right? Okay, good. And when people think about cause and effect, they often think about a pool table. You know, where you have all those colorful balls on a green surface? And then when you strike the white ball in a certain direction, that becomes the cause. And then if you do it right, what is the effect? Guys, ever watch anybody play pool or snooker or whatever? Opal, what's the effect?
The effect is it should, you know, move the other balls.
Okay, and hopefully, if you're playing that game right, one of the other balls then falls inside one of those dark pockets in the corner or in the side of the table, right? Okay, and if you are a soccer player and you enact a cause, which is you kick a ball towards the net, if you strike that ball properly, what will be the effect? Rosetta?
You get a goal.
You get a goal, right, exactly. Okay, so this is what Greek philosophers and everybody since have been very interested in, this phenomenon called causation, which means when you enact a cause, there is an effect. When things act in the world, based on what kind of thing that they are, something else happens. So, for instance, if I hold up my hand, because as babies, you learned all about cause and effect. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You had these mobiles, and you had various toys, and rattles, and all kinds of fun toys that taught you about cause and effect. And so, let's say, if you got a hold of a pen, you got a hold of a pen, and as a baby, you were interested in that pen, and you held it up, and you let go of it, what would happen? Simple, right? Cause and effect experiment. What would happen? You held up a pen as a baby, and you let go. What would happen? Opal?
It would fall.
Okay. Now, here's fantastic, interesting thing about cause and effect. Let's say you were holding a helium-filled balloon in your hand and you let go of it. What fascinating different effect occurred? Which is why helium balloons are so fun. Rosetta?
It would go up?
It would go up instead of down. Now, you tried the same cause, letting go of an object. But guess what? The effect was different. Why? Because the object was different. Right? So then philosophers looked and have looked at this, and they've been so interested in all of this. And you can't have science and you can't have any modern knowledge, including, guess what? History. You can't have history without understanding causation. So we have taken the story of ancient Athens, and we now have created a first attempt at telling that story. I've collected them together in a document here. And I'm going to show you this first one here, number one, which doesn't mean it's the best. It's just number one out of the ones in the order of the paragraphs, the way that I collected them together. Okay? We have taken this story or these facts of history, and I have asked you to make a story out of them. And in so doing, we put them in a certain order, and then you worked on telling a story. And all of you have succeeded. All of you have succeeded in telling a story. But there's something missing from your stories. All of them. All of them. Well, not all the time, because it's very interesting. Sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's not. That thing that I'm talking about, that ingredient that is missing from your understanding so far, is causation. Understanding how one thing causes another. So let's take an example. Let's take an example. Solon did what, Patrick? What did he do?
Ended debt slavery.
Okay, we can use this as a really great example. Solon ended debt slavery. That is a fact. Okay, but it's not just a fact. It's a cause. Events in history cause things to happen. When Solon ended debt slavery, that was a cause. What was the effect? Now, here's an interesting thing. There usually are many effects to any particular cause in history. So we need to think, okay, what was the cause and what were the effects? So, Rosetta, what was the effect of, well, okay, let me ask you guys this, first of all, to get this really straightforward at the beginning. What was the most basic effect of Solon ended debt slavery? The most simple basic effect. Solon ended debt slavery. What would you say was the simplest effect of that? There would be no more... Patrick?
Debt slavery.
There would be no more debt slaves in Athens. Okay, that's the simplest effect, right? There would be no more debt slaves in Athens. Okay, that's the effect of that cause. He ended it. He made a law that says you can't do it anymore. And so from now on, there would not be any more. Okay, good. But is that the only effect? Rosetta?
No, the youth Patriots weren't happy. The commoners still weren't happy.
Okay, an effect of Solon ending debt slavery was that the commoners weren't happy and the Eupatrids weren't happy. That's another effect. Right? Okay, very good. Okay, so why weren't the Eupatrids happy? Or maybe, why weren't the commoners happy, if that's easier for you?
The commoners weren't happy because they wanted more land.
Okay, right. This writer here, in fact, has that included. Now that they couldn't borrow money from the Eupatrids, they wanted more land. Maybe this is just a typo, so I'm going to put the Y in there. They wanted more land to grow more food. Okay, so that's an effect. All right, and then... tell me the next effect of... now, this is going to be a cause. History is so fascinating. It's a chain of cause and effect. The fact that the commoners wanted more land is an effect of the fact that they were not debt slaves anymore. They needed to grow food, so they wanted more land. That's an effect. But tell me how the fact that they wanted more land to grow food is a cause. What did it cause that the commoners wanted more land? What did it cause to happen? What was the effect of that? This writer has it. Patrick, read this for us, please.
So Pisistratus became the Tyrannos because he promised the commoners more land.
Okay, what was the effect, in new words now, what was the effect of the commoners wanting more land?
Pisistratus became the Tyrannos to help them.
To help them, okay, right. They accepted Pisistratus as a Tyrannos. Does everybody see how that is an effect? How is that the effect? Why did they do that? See, when we're talking about causation, look at what is the question that we ask? One of the questions that we ask is, why did something happen? Can anybody think about another question word that it has to do with causation? There's two main words that have to do with question words that have to do with the cause of something. The other one is how. How did it happen? How and why? So if we think about, the commoners wanted more land. Okay? That is the answer to the question, why they did what? They wanted more land. Why did they do what? Chose. Patrick?
Pisistratus.
As?
Tyrannos.
Okay, why? Why did they choose? Now, why did they choose Pisistratus as the Tyrannos?
Because he promised them more land.
Okay. I want you guys to look in this here that I have highlighted, and I want you to tell me the causation word. When you are writing a story and you are explaining to somebody a cause and effect, who can find in this sentence the cause? It's a phrase. Who can find the causation word? Is it Pisistratus? No, that's just a fact. Okay, keep going. Became? That's just something that happened. The Tyrannos? Okay, that's just kind of a fact again. Where's our causation word? I'm surprised that not all the hands are going up here because it's a word that has that special word inside of it. Patrick?
Promised?
No, not promised. That's something that he did. Okay? But there's a word that says why Pisistratus became the Tyrannos. Which one is it? Opal?
Because he promised the commoners more land.
Oh, because. Why did he become the Tyrannos? Because. All right, we're going to put the causation words in beautiful purple here. Okay? So, why? Because. Okay. So, this is a great word. It means that the writer of this paragraph understood that there is a connection, a cause and effect connection between what Pisistratus said and what happened to Pisistratus. Now, there is another part of storytelling which you guys are really good at that's not the same as causes. It just has to do with another thing that is very important in stories. Here's another great vocabulary word. So we could use a couple different vocabulary words. Okay, the word is, here we go, I'm going to chant this to you guys as well. Apologize, let me get my chat box open. So we have causation. All right, you guys are elementary level philosophers already. So there's another thing that is part of causation, but not the same thing. Here's another great word. Who can read that word for me? Opal, please?
Chronology?
Chronology. What the heck is that? We have causation, and now we have chronology? Mr. Powell, you're really working our brains today. What is that? Opal?
Is it like the order that it happened?
The order that things happen in. Right. Order. Or timing. Or the sequence. All of those are important related ideas. One thing happens before something else happens. Okay, let's look at an example of chronology in this paragraph. In the beginning, Athens had a monarchy. Monarchy is a government where one person rules. Then the Eupatrid made Athens into an aristocracy. And aristocracy means the rule of the best. Okay, who can tell me in this sentence what is the word that gives the chronology? Not a cause, but a word that explains the timing of the events, when they happened, in what order they happened. What word in this sentence tells us the order that things happened? Perhaps before something happened or after something else happened, right? The order of things has to do with when they happened. What word in this sentence has to do with when things happened? I only see one hand up, so I'm confused here. How about, let's look at this one. What word or words in this sentence have to do with when it happened? This should be an easier one. What words have to do with when this happened, Patrick?
Monarchy.
Monarchy doesn't have to do with when. Monarchy is the rule of one. That's not when. Which phrase tells us when it happened?
In the beginning.
In the beginning is when this happened. Okay, almost all stories have a beginning, right? That tells us, oh, that's the start of the series of events. That's the start of the sequence of events, right? There's a timing here. In the beginning. Okay, so now you guys should be able to tell me what word in this sentence tells us the chronology. What word in this sentence tells us when Athens was made into an aristocracy compared to when it was a monarchy? Was Athens made into an aristocracy before it was a monarchy? Or was it turned into an aristocracy after it was a monarchy? Which one? And what word tells us? Julia?
Then.
The word then. Look at this great word. This is one of the most important storytelling words there is. Then. Then. All right? Something happened. Then something else happened. Oh, how interesting. So you mean one of them came before and then one of them came after. Oh, that's useful because now I want to understand the order of things. I want to understand the chronology. That word is really helpful to me because it says when things happened in relation to each other. Then the Eupatrids made Athens into a democracy. That's perfect, right? It tells us the order that things happened. All right, good. So now, this is what we're looking for in storytelling. We are looking for a way to tell people the order of the events so that they understand, oh yeah, this, then that, then this, then that, and so on. It's not just a jumble of things, right? But then also there's something else that we want to explain to them in a story. We want to explain how one thing leads to another or how one thing causes another. So in this case, this is a very interesting example. Athens is a monarchy. Athens is an aristocracy. So, which should this writer have here? Should he have then? Or should he have maybe an explanation of the cause? What do you think? Can we think about the cause? Did monarchy cause the aristocracy? See, those are two different ideas. Rosetta?
No, it didn't cause aristocracy.
That's an interesting problem. The Greek philosophers would disagree with you. Because they would say, the only reason Athens became an aristocracy is because it was a monarchy first. And certain people were not happy with that. Who was not happy with the monarchy? Who wasn't happy? Who was not satisfied with the monarchy? Opal?
Theopatrids?
Theopatrids were not happy with it. So, that is a cause. What is the effect of the Eupatrids not being happy with monarchy? What is the effect? Julia?
Aristocracy?
Yeah, the effect is they made Athens into an aristocracy. They didn't like the way things were, so they made it into something else. So, this writer has a nice word here. He has the word then. It tells us about the order things happened. But what he does not have is an explanation of why they happened that way. So, you don't always have to know the cause and the effect. But it's useful to think of it. Because here's what happens when you know the cause and the effect. If you can see Athens was a monarchy, the Eupatrids were unhappy with that. So they made an aristocracy. Notice what that does to those things. It binds them together. It connects them. It turns it into a chain of events where everything is connected by cause and effect. By cause and effect. So, this is going to be our challenge, to take paragraphs like this one, which are so well done. Then is a nice word. It tells us chronology. But it does not tell us... What's the key word for today? Opal?
Cause and effect?
It doesn't tell us causation. Okay? So, if we look in this paragraph, we are going to see... Which one does this word do? What does this word do for us? Which one is later tells us what? Chronology or causation? Patrick, later. Does it tell us the order or the reason?
Order.
The order. This tells us chronology, not causation. What about this? Which one then? Oh, we've already encountered that one. What does that one do for us, Patrick? It tells us the order or the reason?
Reason.
No. Then, that's why it's in green. I gave you guys a hint. Then, something else happened. That doesn't say it happened because of something. It only says it happened later than the thing before. What about this one? Everybody, what color should I use to highlight the word finally? Julia, what color?
Green.
Why?
Because it tells you the order.
It tells us the order. Okay. So, in the beginning, green. Athens had a monarchy. Monarchy is a government where one person... Then the Eupatrids made Athens into an aristocracy, and aristocracy means... But in aristocracy, the Eupatrids enslaved the commoners. So, Solon ended that slavery. Isn't that interesting? Is there a word in this sentence that is either chronology or causation? Is there one in there that's useful to make a connection for the reader, Rosetta?
So.
So. Uh-huh. And what color does that belong?
Purple.
Purple, yes. Uh-huh. This writer does have more causation in there. Good. What about this?
It would be in green.
Yeah, mostly. It's an interesting one because it's kind of interesting because the whole sentence is a cause. So that's really an interesting one. Because now tells us the timing that the commoners couldn't borrow. They wanted more land. So actually, this whole phrase belongs in purple, but that's a more complicated idea. But notice that this writer has an interesting mix. Some things that tell us the order of the events, some things that tell us only, or pardon me, some things that tell us how one thing causes another. But look at the mix. Look at the mix. What is mostly happening in this story? How is the writer telling the reader this story? What is he doing mostly? Chronology or causation? Patrick?
Chronology.
Chronology. So then, the reader walks away knowing what about this story, mostly. What does he end up having from reading this story? Does he know the cause and effect of history, or does he know the order of the events in history? Which one? If he has the chronology, which one does he get? Opal?
The order of the events.
The order of the events. So, there's a missing connection. This story is not a chain of events. It is a series of events. So, we don't yet have a complete understanding. Now, if you go back and you read your own story, this is going to be your first homework assignment of the new year. It's going to be step one of a new series of exercises we're going to do to make this into fantastic paragraphs that you've already written good ones. But the first homework assignment, it's not for the holidays because you don't have homework on the holidays from me. Okay? But the first assignment after the holidays is going to be send me your paragraph with green or purple, every word in your paragraph that is a chronology link, I want you to put it in green, I guess we're going to do. Every word in your paragraph that is a causation word, I want you to put it in purple. And then I want you to tell me, how did you tell the story? And what we're going to see is that the most common thing to do is to tell the story as a series of events rather than a chain of cause and effect. So there, that way, we don't really understand. If we don't have the cause and effect, we don't really understand. So that's okay. It just takes time. The thing is, you guys get the difference, and you guys are capable of understanding the difference, but it's hard to tell a story with all of that in it. All right, so thank you. You guys did really well. You guys just did today, in the elementary History at Our House class, you guys just did a really deep philosophy class. You guys just did a really deep philosophy class. There were people in ancient Greece that were geniuses, especially a man named Aristotle. And he would have been impressed with you guys. He would have said, see, these human beings understand that there's a difference And he would have been impressed with you guys. He would have said, hey, that History at Our House, those students over there understand this topic that we Greek philosophers were so interested in. So, good job. Good job. Thank you, everybody. Good exercise today. And like I said, we will pick things up when we return in the new year, and we'll expand on this theme, and you guys will do even better. I am certain of it. So fantastic. So, once again, as a final parting greeting, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful time. I hope it snows where you are. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you, hearing you, and working with you in the new year. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell. Happy Holidays.
Bye.
See you everybody next year.
Bye-bye.